Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, and it is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are 3 hours away from the draft show, draft night in Smashville, live at Bridgestone Arena. Max Hurst, Robbie Stanley coming up at 6 o'clock. Here's what we know. Again, and I say no, I use that word, I would say rather loosely here, right? Again, we don't know anything, but here's what I think we know. Number one, Matthew Schaefer is going to the New York Islanders with the first overall pick. Number two, Michael Mesa is going to the San Jose Sharks with the number two overall pick. It does feel very likely that the Chicago Blackhawks are going to select Anton Frandell with the third overall pick, which then puts Utah on the clock at four. Now, I have been told Utah is out as far as James Higgins is concerned. If I had the pick at five and I were the Predators, and let's say Caleb DeNoye goes with that pick to the Utah Mammoth, then I would select James Higgins fifth overall. That, again, that's my own personal opinion. But what we know, again, Schaefer, Mesa, Frandell, move them off. What we now know, according to Cam Robinson at Elite Hockey Prospects, the Islanders will do whatever it takes, according to the owner, to try to get back up and take James Higgins, targeting Utah with the fourth overall pick. Now, I don't know what Utah would be interested in. Now, I don't think Utah would have any interest in Higgins because they already have Logan Cooley. But I also, again, seeing that speculation makes me think if they're trying to get to four, it's because they think the Predators at five are going to take James Higgins. The other thing we've heard a lot about is the Porter Martone Nashville Predators connection. Jake, if you could, Barry Trotz was asked about Porter Martone earlier this week, but I keep going back to all of the speculation. Scott Wheeler at The Athletic says he keeps hearing a lot of Nashville and Martone. Has Martone mocked to the Predators with the fifth overall pick in his latest mock draft, even though he's got Higgins just a little bit ahead of Martone, and said if he was in the Preds draft room, he'd be banging the table for James Higgins. Then there's the ESPN.com mock draft, which has the Predators taking Porter Martone. So again, Barry Trotz was asked about Porter Martone on Tuesday. Keep in mind, Porter Martone, unlike almost everybody else, is not a center. Here's what Barry Trotz said.
I want to ask about a specific player. Porter Martone, a really physically gifted player, great offensive player, but he doesn't play center. He plays wing. Yep. How much does that matter to you, the position versus the skill the player brings?
Well, there's a little bit more, probably a little bit more need, but if that player is available, you know, you can look at past drafts. I think, I can't remember, Brady Tkachuk, player that went before Brady Tkachuk. If you look at where it is now, they would probably want Brady Tkachuk based on where players go. So we're going to look at the best player. And if there's a big discrepancy, then position won't matter. But if there's very little, then we'll probably go a little more position, that's all. But
okay.
That'd be a great pick at five.
So let's go back when it comes to the Predators. Let's go back again to the Martone thing and how everybody keeps saying they're hearing Porter Martone to the Predators with that fifth pick. I'm trying to figure out, is this a smokescreen or is this real? On one hand, I just don't see Barry Trotz being the smokescreen type of guy. If Barry Trotz loves a player, you're going to know Barry Trotz loves the player. Again, he kept coming on the show last year telling us up and down he loved Soros. He loved Soros. He wanted to sign Soros. He loved Soros. He wanted to sign him. He was his guy. And it was like, well, does he really mean that, or is he trying to drive up the price for a trade? No, he meant it. Even though I didn't love it, he meant it. When it came to John Hines, we just all assumed that he was going to keep John Hines, even though he kept saying, hey, I'm evaluating again. He told you. And then he fired him. When has Barry Trotz done something in the 2 years he's been running the Predators? When has Barry Trotz done something that has just had your jaw hit the floor? Even when he went out and added Luke Shen and Ryan O'Reilly and people were, I thought we were rebuilding. Why are we getting all these old pawpaws? And I'm like, Barry Trotz's first interview he did, he said, I would never get rid of Ryan McDonagh. He's a serial winner. So he told you what he wanted to go get. I wasn't shocked when they got rid of Matt Duchene. So again, when it comes to the Martone thing, it's either a smokescreen or the Predators really, really, really love Martone and they don't care what Utah does it for, Denoyer, Hagans, whomever. Martin, it doesn't matter to them because they are with that pick. They're going to take Porter Martone. But I have a hard time getting there on Martone. Not because I don't like the player. I mean, he is a big boy. He is a first-line winger. Think of a Mikko Rantanen-type player, though. I'm not the biggest Mikko Rantanen guy in the world. But think of a big finishing forward. That's what he is. And again, 40 goals is 40 goals. So if he comes up into the NHL and by year three or four, he's scoring 40 goals a year, who cares if he's a winger or a center? Now, I would prefer he be a center, but again, if he's a winger, a Leon Draisaitl, whatever. The point being that it's not like these people are making this stuff up, but I just don't see the Predators as the type of team that tries to smokescreen anybody. Again, my prediction this morning was that the Predators were going to draft James Hagans. Now, all the New York Islander stuff is starting to throw a huge wrench into that because if New York gets to four with Utah and they end up making the pick, it will be Hagans, and then you can't take Hagans. But I'm trying to figure out, when it comes to the Martone stuff, is it a smokescreen or is it not? Again, I just don't see the Predators, especially Trotz. I just don't see Trotz as the smokescreen kind of guy. Now, what Scott Wheeler's going off of and what everybody else is going off of is this belief that the Predators scouted Porter Martone very heavily. But did Barry specifically scout Porter Martone heavily? Or was that, oh, the Preds sent a scout to go to his games? They could have had somebody that lives in the area. Again, I don't know. But I'm trying to figure out, do they really love Porter Martone? And then I go back to the wild card comments where he said Martone and McQueen were the two wild cards that could really shake up the first round. And I thought to myself, well, if you're talking about the wild cards that could shake up the first round, that's because they've gone over this the same way we have. They do mock drafts inside the draft room where they're like, okay, here are the first three that go, and then Brady Martin goes four, who do we take at five? Hagans goes four, who do we take at five? All their decisions are made for them. So now when they're on the clock at five, they know who they're going to pick. But when they're doing that, they're talking about the wild cards. And the wild cards, Trot said on this program, are McQueen and Martone. Well, if he's a wild card of, wow, this could really shake up the top part of the draft, then wouldn't it be a guy you're not going to take that would be a wild card that would affect you? So I'm kind of starting to lean more out on the Martone front, even though, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't take Martone. I'm just out in the belief that they really love Martone just based off of the tea leaves. And let's not forget the fact that they've all been bemoaning for forever that they need a number one centerman. One texter says, this draft is so frustrating picking at five. Agreed. But it's also a lot more fun. You know, the Titans had the number one pick of Cam Ward, and it was like doing the show. I'm like, oh, this is, again, I don't want to say it's not fun, but it's just, you know, you knew who they were going to take. I knew who they were going to take. So let's talk some more about Cam Ward Whereas when you're sitting there at like six or seven, you know, there's all these options and trades, and you could trade and they could trade and they could. It actually makes the draft night itself, in my opinion, more fun. 615-737-1025. We'll hit on some phones. Plus Corey Curtis, News 2. What does he think, reading the tea leaves, the Predators are going to do tonight? And what about the NHL roster as far as the Predators are concerned? We'll hit on that with Corey next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game. Stillman and Company, apparently my Matthew Barzal take, the fact that, hey, if I am the Predators and the Islanders are so desperate to get up to number five to take James Hagans, and by the way, I would take James Hagans if I were the Predators at number five, but I guess Islander fans are mad because I would say in order to get to five, you'd have to give me Barzal. Again, I don't know if you're on his 22 team no trade list or not. You'd have to give me Barzal. Then after Barzal, I'd want 17 in this year's draft, and I'd want your unprotected first next year, because I think with all these rookies, you're going to be pretty bad. And so I'd like to have another top 10 pick in next year's draft. And again, some guy, you know, these Islander fans on Twitter are like, this guy's just trying to get attention. This guy doesn't know. This guy. And all I'll say is this. If the report is your owner would do whatever it takes to get Hagans, well, now we're talking whatever it takes. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us on the program. Corey, the first four picks in the draft are in. It is going to be Schaefer at 1, Misa at 2, Frondell at 3, Denoyer at 4. You are on the clock at 5. Who are you taking?
Probably Hagans, because you've been desperate for a center over a long time, and with him being a little bit older, he's probably on a little bit faster track to the NHL. So I like that combination.
So when it comes to Hagans, I heard Craig Button today at TSN say that I guess Hagans thinks he's ready for the NHL now, and Craig Button at TSN was like, he is not ready for the NHL, and Craig Button does not think that any player in this year's draft is ready to make the jump right away straight to the NHL. What do you make of the trade speculation? The Islanders, they love Hagans. He's a local kid. There's a report out there that the owner will do whatever it takes in order to try to get up and to take James Hagans. There was a report that came out within the hour that the Islanders are targeting number four. They traded Noah Dobson for two first-round picks from Montreal earlier today. And so there's a thought that they could be targeting four to take Hagans. Do you think that is a sign that the Islanders think that if the Predators are sitting there with that fifth pick, that they will take James Hagans?
Yeah, I mean, I think if he's available there, it would be tough for the Predators not to take him. And yeah, I mean, everything says, you know, that they're arming themselves to move up. But what do we know? I mean, Barry said it the other day. It's going to be very costly to get inside the top 10, because after the top 10, there's a drop-off. And so, you know, I don't think 16 and 17 is enough to move up into the top 10, probably. I mean, maybe it gets you to 9 or 10, but I don't know. And if you want to get up to number 5, because there's no way. I mean, let's be realistic. 8, 9, 10, is Hagans going to 8, 9, or 10?
I mean, some mocks think so, but no.
I don't think so either. Not at that position. I don't think so. So I agree with you that it's going to take picks and an existing NHL player to get there, which isn't a terrible place to be. And I like the Barzal situation, but he is expensive. But I also like the fact that he's 28 years old. And so you think the next 4 years for him are probably going to be his prime.
Yeah. So with that being said, though, Barry Trotz has been kind of threading this needle. You know, I basically had to pin him down on the program the other day and say, do you worry more about next season or 3 years down the road? And Barry, you know, again, they're trying to thread the needle. They're trying to do both. They're trying to be good next year and be good in the future. I think one has to take priority over the other. He said next year's the priority. Do you think that's possible, that the Predators could actually have a good team next year and still be building for the future? And if so, what does that mean for your number five pick?
Well, I mean, sure. I think they can be good in eyeing the future, because they've got some young kids that are coming up. And they need them to be good. They need them to be better than a lot of the young kids that they've had come up lately. They need to have some guys who are come up and become, they need new pillars. They need new, I mean, Roman Yossi's getting older. Philip Forsberg is getting older. And so in 5 years, they're going to, you know, 3 years, they're going to need new pillars. And is this the third time in team history they've picked inside the top five?
I believe so, with Legwon and Seth Jones being the other two.
Yeah, so you haven't had a lot of chances to make this pick and get this caliber of player. So while I understand making a trade for a good player in the NHL and for more picks, I also understand this is a chance to get a guy who is going to be one of your pillars for the next 15 years, ideally. And ideally, you don't get that chance again. So I think if you trade away this pick, it's hard to say you're building towards the future because you're playing for now.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest here on the program. Do you buy the Porter Martone stuff? Scott Wheeler, the head prospect writer at The Athletic, keeps hearing Preds and Martone. ESPN's mock draft has the Predators taking Porter Martone, and it says all the scuttlebutt is the Preds and Martone. And yet, for a franchise that has been so desperate for a center for so many years, and Barry is as much a part of that as any of us in terms of feeling the need for a number one center, he's the one guy who doesn't play center, Corey.
Well, you know what? If he's the best player, though, and he's a forward, and he's an 80, 90-point guy for you, you still have to take him. I understand what you're saying, but you can't get so caught up in need that you pass up on a great player to take a shot on a guy. Because if you're going to do that, all right, if you're going to pass up on him and you're going to take a center, and I don't know, where do we rank the next center at? I mean, how far down the line is it? I mean, because you would probably need to trade down if you're really going to want to take a center at that point, unless you think there's another one worthy of being the fifth pick of the draft.
Well, I mean, I think that, again, the way this looks out is either Brady Martin or Caleb DeNoyer is going with the fourth pick if Hagans is there. One of those two guys is going to be available. That guy is probably in that same trough as Martone player.
McQueen's the center too, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's hurt. I mean, he's got an injury flag to him.
Okay.
But to Jake O'Brien, Martone, that second group of prospects after Schaefer and Misa, I think really does have a bunch of centers in there. I mean, the Predators are going to have a choice of a center if they want to take a center at five.
Yeah, but I think they could also trade down and get in that group of centers, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't know that anybody would trade down. Like, you're talking about trying to trade down to seven or eight, and I'm not sure that anybody through seven or eight is going to want to trade up to five as much as the reality of, hey, if you really like Jake O'Brien, just take Jake O'Brien.
Well, again, I'm going to say if you think he is that much better, I mean, if you are all in on Porter Martone being, hey, this guy's going to score 40 goals a year for us, then you still have to take him.
So I agree with that, but do you actually think that they think that, or do you think that it's all a smokescreen?
No, I don't think it's a smokescreen because I think this team does not have a history of reaching for centers in the draft. And I don't think, you know, Barry is going to reach for a center in the draft because, I mean, he's been adamant that we're going to get a good player. I mean, that's what he keeps saying. We're going to get a good player. And so I think he's more concerned with getting a good player than getting a positional need because, I mean, we all know they've needed to fill that position for a long time. But you still can't pass on if you think it's elite talent. Now, I heard what you're saying about that they've spent a lot of time looking at him and scouting at him. That also might be because they had more questions about him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there could be a million different reasons. You know, it could be because he's the guy they really like and they wanted to button it up because they really like a center, but they might think he's too good to pass up on. So I would not put it past, you know, Barry to draft a non-center at that position if that's what he believes. Oh, and by the way, as for, you know, Hagans and anybody else being NHL ready this year, you know, we know Barry Trotz. He likes to let them marinate in Milwaukee. So if you're hoping to play in Nashville this year, you don't want to get drafted by the Preds, probably.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Barry Trotz about himself. Corey Curtis, News 2, with us. I asked Barry if he thinks he's on the hot seat. Barry said, I don't pay attention to that. I'm just going to do what's ever in the best interest of the Predators. Do you think Barry, after last year, is on the hot seat? And do you think that that may guide his judgment, not just in the draft, but also with what they may do on July 1 when free agency opens?
Well, I think the big question here is Bill Haslam. I mean, we don't know a lot about Bill Haslam as an owner. So, you know, it's hard to say that. He's a first-time GM. It's his first year at GM. I don't think he's on the hot seat. But I think if he has another year that doesn't work out like he hoped it would, then I think it, you know, it puts him in a more precarious situation moving forward.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the clock right now. Now that we don't know who's going to get picked, and again, the latest report is that the Islanders are trying desperately to get to four to take Hagans. Your prediction tonight, who do the Nashville Predators select with the fifth overall pick?
Who's picking it for? Utah?
Utah.
Utah. First off, I got to figure out if they're going to trade.
You can make that prediction too.
Okay. You know what? I think if the Islanders are really desperate to move up, I think a new franchise like Utah can afford to stockpile picks. And I could see them making that trade. So we'll say they trade up to take Hagans. And so we'll take Martone. If I'm the Predators, we'll sit there and we'll take Martone and we'll be happy.
Boy, I'll tell you, if they pass on to Noyer, so let's say Hagans goes four, they pass on to Noyer at center, they better be right when it comes to Martone, because Denoyer does look to be that kind of player. I think he's like 6'1".
Okay. Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean, this is the way I look at it. And again, I mean, I said this yesterday. You can't worry about the positional value. You have to take the best player. I think I'm in the camp of Hagans or Denoyer. That if I'm picking at five, it's got to be Hagans or Denoyer. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis, News 2 with us. What's your hot take this week?
Is it a punishment for a guy who probably isn't going to be on a team for the first 8 weeks of the season to suspend him for 10 games?
Talking about Justin Tucker of the Ravens?
Yes. I mean, he's a 35, 36-year-old kicker coming off the worst year of his career. You know, somebody might have brought him in for camp, but he's more likely a kicker who's going to hold out and wait and see which contending team needs a kicker. And so now he just chills out for 10 weeks, works on his game, and waits for that team that will wait for him, because they know they'll have him for the postseason. It's not much of a punishment.
Well, I look at it is what are you going to do, ban him from the NFL for life? They won't ban Deshaun Watson. You're going to ban him?
Yeah, I mean, no, but you could suspend him for a year.
But they didn't suspend Deshaun Watson for a year.
No, they didn't. And, you know,
there's far more evidence of doing the same thing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't I wouldn't necessarily agree with that punishment either. But I'm just saying, you know, where he is in his career is different than where Deshaun Watson was. And so for him sitting out for a while, you know, he may have been sitting out anyway. It's not much of a punishment in my estimation.
I'll say this. I don't know if Justin Tucker is going to play next year, but I will say that if this didn't come down, he'd still be on the Ravens. So I think that might be the punishment
probably.
In and of itself. Corey Curtis, News 2.
The fact that if Justin Tucker did not have the year he had last year, he'd still be on the Ravens as well.
Maybe. Probably. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always on our program. Great stuff. We appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Enjoy the draft.
Yep. Corey Curtis, News 2. Here on the program. 615-737-1025. More of your Preds calls. 615-737-1025. Plus, what about the actual NHL roster as far as the Predators are concerned? I got some thoughts on that. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 through the game.
DB, who would you rather make a move on? Rasmus Anderson, who it looks like he could be had out of Calgary for a trade, or Noah Dobson? Different players. Dobson a bit younger, maybe more offensive upside, but also cost you more money to sign him, maybe more years as well. Anderson versus and Dobson, like who do you like out of those two? And why do you think, you know, pretty high-end defensemen are getting shopped around by their teams?
Yeah, I'm not sure what Calgary's doing, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess Rasmus doesn't want to stay. Mm. Here's the thing, and you mentioned it, Johnny. What's Dobson at? Is he at 8 or 10? If he's at 10, that's a tough pill. I don't know if he's 10. He's not Evan Bouchard. Right, so I would go towards Anderson because I still like the defensive part of the game. Look, if my offense is good enough, Johnny, then I would go with the defensive presence of Anderson. If my offense needs some help, I would go with Dobson. But at $10 million, that's a tough pill to swallow. 10 over, you know, over 7. I'm not a huge Dobson guy, right? So I would lean towards Rasmus Anderson, knowing that there's going to be a, you know, that cap hit is really nice, but that Rasmus Anderson, Johnny, 3 years ago would have been more valuable at that cap hit than today because of what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. $4 million? Oh, that's easy. We can do that. You know, it's a backstroke. I don't need to make moves to fit Rasmus Anderson in, and he's a quality guy, great in the room. So that's the guy I would lean towards because it's a high price ticket at Noah Dobson.
There you go. That was SiriusXM NFL Radio. that was Dennis Bernstein from the Fourth Period on earlier today. And the one thing I do want to talk about is what are the Predators going to do as far as the NHL team is concerned? Because as of right now, Craig Button at TSN, he said earlier today that not only is James Hagans not ready for the NHL, he said that nobody in this draft is ready for the NHL right now. Now, Noah Dobson is off the board. That trade, I saw a tweet from Pierre LeBrun, who said that the trade call is happening shortly, which would make the move official. But again, Noah Dobson is headed to Montreal, which means that Rasmus Anderson is still out there. I do wonder, with these other two picks, 23 and 26, is Barry Trotz going to try to make the NHL team better with one of those two picks, or maybe both of those two picks? Again, if Noah Dobson is worth 16 and 17, then is Rasmus Anderson worth, who, again, you heard right there, Dennis Bernstein says that he actually thinks Rasmus Anderson is better than Noah Dobson. So is he worth 23 and 26? And then you have to give him the contract. And would he want to come here in order for you to be able to make that deal? And would you want to commit to another core player? You know, I heard the midday show, and look, I love Willie with all my heart. I do. But I thought this was selective parsing on the part of Willie Donick yesterday when the midday show was talking about the contracts. And Willie's like, what contracts are they locked into? All these guys have expiring contracts. McCarron has an expiring contract. Cole Smith has an expiring contract. Sissons has an expiring contract. Bunting has an expiring contract. Halla has an expiring contract. Like, I don't know, Willie. I don't know. Forsberg, Stamkos, Yossi, Soros, those players, those are the contracts. If you were to make the trade for Rasmus Anderson, are you willing to make another commitment in terms of a contract? Or do you just make the trade and partner him with Brady Shea and make that essentially your first defensive pair with Shea on the left and Anderson on the right? And if the team sucks again next year, then you flip him at the deadline for what you gave up to get him. I am wondering, again, if the idea of making the NHL team better, the we're going to go for it this year, Jared, we want to bring the joy back to Smashville, if the way to do that is to keep Justin Barron in the lineup, or to tell me that Eric Halla or Fedor Svechkov is the answer as the second line center, then that ain't doing much for me. 615-737-1025. Brad has been waiting patiently and is up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Brad, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. So I've been watching this team since day one, and it has been so painful to watch this team march out boatloads of number two centermen and say this is our number one guy. We've never had one. And as much as I've wished that we've had a true number one, in this specific situation, I think if you're picking and you've got Hagans and Martone on the board, I feel like Martone is just too good to pass. He really is that big boy forward that you always talk about. When we get to the playoffs, that's something I feel like we've never had. And come playoff time, that guy's going to be a handful. And I think if both of them are on the board, I would love to have Hagans. I think he's going to be a great player in the NHL, but I do think in 10 years you're going to look back and say if you had a chance to pick Martone and you'd pass, I think it'd be a mistake. Thanks.
The question is, to your point, thank you for your call, Brad. I don't disagree with this. I mean, again, Matthew Tkachuk, for instance, and this was the guy that Trotz referenced when it came to not taking a center with that fifth pick. Matthew Tkachuk, over the course of an 82-game season, averages out for 81 points. So even though he's not a center, he's a left winger, he's still worth 8 points per game. And there are wingers like that who make a difference. Vladimir Tarasenko in 2019. Now, I know that the 2019 Blues are kind of the exception to the rule when it comes to the team that is dominated without having some just uber high draft choice, big boy forward, lead their team that they took number one or number two. Everybody else has a guy who was taken either number one or number two that was kind of leading their team at the center ice position. Barkov in Florida, Eichel in Vegas. I can go on. Again, Stamkos, kind of a winger. But yes, Stamkos, I guess, would count. But Vladimir Tarasenko for the 2019 Blues, when he was in St. Louis that season and they won the cup, he was in 76 games a 68-point guy. Over the course of 82 games, though, he's only 65 points. If he's a Tarasenko, where he's a 65 points over 82 games, which is not bad. I mean, that's still a good career. If he's that kind of player, he's probably not worth the pick. If he's Patrick Kane, who, once again, Patrick Kane won three cups. If he's Patrick Kane, who was a winger but was the first overall pick in the draft off the right wing, and Kane was in over 82 games, 85 points per big, again, basically a point per game guy. If he's that, then I'm totally fine with taking him. I'm just not completely sold that Martone is that guy or that he's that much better than the centers. That's the way I guess I would put it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Caleb says Forsberg is a big boy forward, Brad. I hope he's joking. Forsberg would be a great second-line winger. First power play unit, second line. If you had Patrick Kane on the first line. You can win with Forsberg on your first line, but he'd really be a much better fit as far as the second line is concerned. The thing I'll say about Forsberg is this, and I've felt this way for the last 10 years, and I like Forsberg. And again, a lot of the players around town don't like me. I actually do think Forsberg likes me. Forsberg over 82 games is a 72-point guy, so that's not bad. But the one thing I would say about Forsberg is, boy, he's streaky. And when he's hot, and this year he was not very good, but when he's hot, he can carry the entire team. He's like one of those hitters in a baseball lineup that when he's on, everything is a three-run home run. Every time when he's on, he comes to the plate, it is a series-deciding, game-deciding, solo shot in the eighth inning. He's that kind of guy who you walk out of a three-game set, and it's like he hit four homers and three doubles and nine RBIs, and he's just, when Forsberg is hot, it carries the team, and that is pretty good. Again, he had 94 points last year. Not this past season, but the year before that. Ooh, I'm watching this. I finally got NHL Network on. And the fact that NHL Network is doing like this behind the scenes, getting to know the prospects thing, as opposed to, you know, what should be like a big, like some, hold on. So I'm watching this thing right now. It's a combine special on NHL Network, something I haven't watched. And they just showed James Hagans walk into the interview room with the Predators. Can I go back on that? I don't think I can rewind on this. But Barry Trotz was not in the room. There were all these bald guys in there. But Barry Trotz was not one of the bald heads that I saw go shake hands with James Hagans. What do we make of that? I don't know. 615-737-1025. We're back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. Oh, and by the way, there may be another name into the kitty as far as potential picks with the fifth overall pick are concerned. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025. What is the game?
Of the teams that have multiple first-round draft picks, is there a team that you think is best positioned or likeliest to maneuver those picks in the first round?
I would say all of them would consider it. Like, I don't think you guys are doing anything with your fifth overall pick unless it's, you know, maybe moving up or down one or two spots if the draft unfolds certain ways. But I expect you guys to use that pick to in that area to draft a player. But the 23 and 26, right? Like, I could see Barry doing something with that. I can definitely see Pittsburgh doing something with 11-12. I could definitely see Montreal doing something with 16-17 and Philly as well. Like, Like, I have to tell you, Adam, we all know who's going one. Schaefer's going one of the Islanders. Most people think Misa's going two to San Jose, if not him, Frondell. And then I think you're going to see, I think there's a lot of variance from there, Adam. Like, each team's lists are different from that point on. Like, who do you have at three, and then where are you going from there? So I absolutely do believe, depending on how this unfolds, you are going to see some teams move around.
Okay, that was Elliot Friedman yesterday on the Midday Show. Here's the one thing I'm going to say about trades as far as tonight is concerned, and everybody's keeping an eye on the Islanders, who traded Noah Dobson, and now they've got 16 and 17. They also have their first-rounder next year. They have Callum Ritchie, who is a young forward, a young center that they acquired at the trade deadline, and they have Colorado's first-rounder next year that they can defer to that Colorado could defer to 2027. So they do have picks now that they've made the Noah Dobson trade. But the one thing I'm going to say about the trades, and I know the report is that the owner of the Islanders would be pretty much willing to do anything to get James Higgins to go along with Matthew Schaefer, who they're going to take number one overall. Don't we do this every year? Every year before the draft, we sit back and we're like, Pierre LeBrun is saying, and Frank Saravalli is saying, and Darren Drager is saying, and Elliot Friedman is saying, and all these guys are saying, and then the Predators stick and pick. I remember the 2023 draft at Bridgestone Arena, and I remember how it was like a whole day of hold on to your tushies, because there were rumors galore about the Predators and the San Jose Sharks. And ultimately, the Predators stood and picked. The Predators have three picks. I'm sure Barry's working the phones. I'm sure of it. But over the last couple of years, I've sat there on draft night saying, are they going to make a trade? Last year, I think all the talk was about Soros. So are they going to trade Soros at the draft, or are they going to sign him to an extension, or are they going to trade Askarov because they're going to sign Soros? What are they going to do? And they did nothing. Kind of feels that way today, where we're talking all about this, about who are they going to trade, or are they going to move up, or are they going to move down, or are they going to... And I think my gut tells me they're going to pick at 5, they're going to pick at 23, and they're going to pick at 26. That's just what my gut tells me. 615-737-1025 here on the program. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. A bunch of you want to get in as far as the Forsberg stuff is concerned, about him being a first liner. Forsberg is a first liner, but he needs to be your number two or number three on that line, ideally number three. I think, again, Forsberg can play on the first line, but if you draft Porter Martone, the hope is that Porter Martone is that first line winger, and that eventually Forsberg drops down to number two. Here's the other thing. If the Predators are going to get it right, if last year was just an aberration, which was kind of what Barry Trotz was trying to point towards when he was on the show on Tuesday, don't you think Steven Stamkos, again, I'm not saying 40 goals, but don't you think Steven Stamkos has to rebound to where he is a legitimate first-line winger, even though he's up there in age? Unless he's just a total lemon. And that could make things intriguing. And I do wonder, when they factor in these plans about drafting, again, I think you draft a guy, he's not really what he's going to be in the NHL for 5 or 6 years. And these guys are not signed. Stamkos is not signed for 5 or 6 years. But I do wonder how much they do take into account the current roster. They should not, whatever they do, they should not take into account anything when it comes to the current prospects they have. Like, I don't want to hear, well, we didn't take this guy because we got Matthew Wood and we think Matthew Wood's going to... No. For every 5 prospects you take that are not generational number one overall type players, for every non-McDavid that you draft, every 5 guys, 1 or 2 of them excel. That's it. 1 or 2. That's it. One texter says, way to kill the excitement, Jared, saying they won't trade. Hey, a lot of you people out there think that whenever I say something, the opposite of that happens. You know what, Jake? Jake, do you have access to the guarantee list?
I don't believe I do.
Well, you're going to need to figure this out. Text Ian right now because we're adding this to the guarantee list. I guarantee that the Nashville Predators will not make a trade tonight, and they will select at 5, 23, and 26.
That's a bold one.
Put it on the list.
All right, I'll let Ian know.
Do you think that they're going to make a trade tonight?
I just think it's more likely that they trade one of those picks than that they don't trade any of them.
They don't trade. They do not trade on draft night. I do not think we have had a Predators draft night trade in the 10 years that I have been doing the show here. I'm dead serious about that. And again, we've had some of those nights where it's a hold on to your rear end. They're all kind of different, though. It's actually odd when I keep thinking in my head about all the previous drafts. You know, I'll never forget after the Predators won the cup final and they were like, draft coverage live from Chicago. And I'm like, who cares? You're picking towards the end of the, and they took Ellie Tolvanen and everybody was like, well, the gurus had him ranked as the fourth best player in the draft. Well, okay. But the people that actually do this for a living did not. And then I'm trying to think some of the other ones. I remember the 2019 draft was all about going after Matt Duchene, and were they going to trade P.K. Subban, and they traded P.K. Subban at the beginning of round two, you know, the next day on day two. So those things are always, you know, they're all different. When the Predators draft, I don't even remember the 2020 draft because I think it happened during the football season. The 2021 draft, I remember that was the competitive rebuild, David Poile. The 2022 draft, Joakim Kimmel, they took him. I knew nothing about him. And as they drafted Joakim Kimmel, everybody on the ESPN broadcast was like, well, he's kind of like, he comps to be like Victor Arvidsson. And I thought, oh, God, no. No. Victor Arvidsson. Oh, God. Not that Arvidsson was bad, but, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. 615-737-1025. So it seems like there are two names when it comes to the fifth pick tonight. And let's parse what Barry Trotz said about those two names, and let's ask AI to compare and contrast what he thinks or what it thinks Barry Trotz is going to do. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.